Hi everybody, welcome back to the Flicks the Church for God. I'm Peter Laws, looking at two newfound footage movies that are hitting the shelves here in the UK this week. Now if you want to hear my thoughts on the James Wan produced film Demonic, then check out the previous episode. But tonight we're going to be not looking at strange satanic symbols scrawled onto the floorboards, but rather we're going to be cricking our necks and watching the skies as we explore the Blair Witch from Outer Space film, The Phoenix Incident.
In 1997, you took place in one of the largest military cover-ups in United States history.
That's correct.
They've been here before. Elgin, Mosaka, Roswell, those are recon missions. But Phoenix was different.
All across the state of mysterious flying objects in the sky,
and what many are already calling the largest UFO sighting in North America.
Congress doesn't even know if this happened.
Freaking me out. Oh, man.
Anything like this?
What's that one behind? That one there.
They were testing our weakness, testing our capabilities. It was only the beginning.
Now when I say that The Phoenix Incident has a Blair Witch Project vibe, I do not just mean that it's a found footage film, but I mean its general premise is very reminiscent of that movie. Like Blair Witch, it centers on a group of youngish people with late 90s video cameras. They're venturing out into a vast expanse. In this case, it's the desert rather than the woods, and these people are ending up as a missing persons case. And just like in the Blair Witch, you can go online and visit authentic looking websites citing the characters from the Phoenix Incident as if these particular people were real and really did go through this and are actually missing. But what is a little bit different about this film is that, like Demonic before it, this is another hybrid movie in that it mixes found footage with more traditional filmmaking techniques. So while Demonic was found footage in the midst of a traditional horror film, The Phoenix Incident is a found footage presented as part of an in-depth documentary with talking heads and interviews with military members, family and police. Basically, it's all a bunch of people trying to piece together what might have happened to these young men out in the desert, and the found footage is a part of that investigation. Now, what did happen isn't any mystery, by the way. The box and the blurb make it very clear from the start that we're not dealing with witches or demons, but rather with unidentified flying objects. This isn't the first found footage film to do the alien genre, but what is a little bit more unique about it is that it fuses the story with an actual real-life case of UFOs. Yeah, further stirring the postmodern waters is the fact that this film finds its title and its inspiration in a very well-documented documented incident called The Phoenix Lights. In fact, the press screener disc that I was sent of the film actually says The Phoenix Lights when the titles come up on the film rather than incident, but they've changed it to incident because that sounds a bit more ominous and exciting than just The Phoenix Lights, I guess. Now, just in case you're not aware, the Phoenix Lights were an intriguing UFO sighting that happened in Arizona and Mexico on Thursday, the 13th of March in 1997, where strange lights were spotted across a 300-mile radius. And what made the case so interesting was not only were they caught on film, but apparently they were witnessed by thousands of people, and therefore it's been described as the largest UFO flyover ever recorded. Now, what exactly these lights were is anybody's guess. They may have been military flares, some people think, and they've left it at that. But there's enough mystery and intrigue surrounding this case to have prompted books and clubs even, and documentaries and horror films. Yeah, it's worth pointing out, this isn't the first horror film to talk about the Phoenix Lights. Night Skies from 2007 talked about it too, and that was like a sort of version of Wes Craven's Hills Have Eyes, only it was aliens stalking the campervan rather than mutant mountain people. Anyway, the point I'm saying is that the incident has a lot of traction in Fortean consciousness, and so it's not a surprise to find it cropping up in another film. I actually, for the most part, found that The Phoenix Incident is a pretty absorbing little movie. I mean, the explanation they offer of what really went down that night in Arizona and Mexico is, like, really way off extravagant, I admit, and it's all really about a full-on alien attack, so it's all a definite sense of hokey B-movie to it and the way it approaches the subject. But the way it's made, and in particular the way the footage is fused into documentary style, is, I think, pretty effective. For example, some of the people they interview who are supposed to be family members or military officials, some of them are actually fairly convincing. I'm no expert in acting and I can't act myself. Toffee, I'm terrible. But I actually can usually tell the difference between a real life person, or at least I think I can, a real life person and an actor. But there were occasions where people were being interviewed in this film and I was like, yeah, I can tell that but the guy's an actor. But now and again, there'd be someone I'd be like, is that an actor? Was that a real person? The film seems so keen to mash up fact and fiction, and we know the Phoenix Lights did actually take place, that we have no idea if the interviewees in this film are real people or not. And so, I mean, some seem like actors, but some seem surprisingly authentic. And I quite like that blurring of the lines. Although a straight documentary about the Phoenix Lights would be very welcome, I think, and I know there is one out there. The film certainly intrigued me enough to look into that. A couple of years ago, actually, the Paranormal Diaries Clop Hill came out, a film that fused the same sort of things, documentary with found footage and actors and genuine people being interviewed. That was exploring a satanic desecration of a local church. I say local because it's literally like a few miles away from my house, so it's of interest to me. I'd like to see straight documentaries about the Phoenix Lights and the Clop Hill story as well. But, you know, in the meantime, these found footage fusions, I guess, we'll have to do. What helps, I think, is that the atmosphere of this film is deadly serious. And I mean the notions and ideas of the film are really out there. This covert military war against aliens that we see in the first parts of the film in particular. And it's in those moments I wasn't surprised to find that the director was Keith Arum, who has been very active in making video games such as Call of Duty. Now, all this mixture of authentic military footage with screams of aliens on the soundtrack has a sort of computer game vibe, I guess. And, you know, so it's all right. But it's not until the film starts unpacking the actual incident from 1987, which it gets really more interesting. And the film's so convinced of its own validity that you're willing to give the film the benefit of the doubt and think, oh, well, okay, I'll go along with this. Because there is a seriousness to the documentary aspect of the film. And one of the things that worked particularly well for me is the time period it's set in. It's in the late 90s, and so thankfully the director chooses cameras that are authentic for the time. In other words, I mean, we get a lot of VHS with tracking, you know, coming along the bottom and stuff and flickering screens and that. Every now and again, I don't know why, it does sort of seem to flip into some sort of HD video camera, which seems a bit incongruous. But the presence of VHS, particularly when they fuse it with modern CGI, subtle CGI, works quite well. This idea of a sort of jerky old video camera, but then in the background you'll see some sort of like shape in the sky. That fusion between old tech and modern effects, I think worked reasonably well, quite well in certain parts of the film. That's not to say the CGI effects are always convincing, however, particularly at the end there's a few bits where you're like, oh, okay, that's clearly CGI. And I suppose at the ending of the film, does a good job of ripping away that suspension of disbelief that you had before, and you're reminded, oh yeah, of course, this is just a bunch of actors in the desert running away from green screen dots and stuff. And it's these sequences, I guess, that makes the film feel like a different beast. It's almost like a schizophrenic movie in the sense that it's a monster movie, but it's also a thoughtful docudrama. But still, it's a pretty fun film at the same time. If you check this out, I'd encourage you to stay watching over the final credits sequence because it includes some really important extra footage from the Talking Heads interviews, and as well as a little bit more footage that turns out to be quite poignant. There's a gentle, effective music score, which I think works well. And often in found footage, I guess there's always the question of why would there be music in this? You know, if someone films by accident their friend's getting murdered, they're not going to go back and put music over the top of it. That's just sick and weird. But this is part of a documentary professionally prepared, and so the presence of music is logical and effective. Now, just as an aside, the subject of UFOs is a pretty fascinating one, and I do enjoy exploring them from time to time. And I feel as much magic as the next guy, like looking up into the sky and imagining something, you know, silently drifting across me at night. I mean, that's cool. But of all the 40 unexplained subjects, I would say that UFOs don't intrigue me quite as much in the same way as ghosts and the paranormal do. Imagine tomorrow if one of the main Fortean paranormal subjects was proved beyond shadow of a doubt. The Loch Ness Monster or Sasquatch was discovered, or proof of life on other planets was found. This stuff would be fascinating. I would be glued to the coverage of that. And by the way, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I'm not allowed or I don't have an interest or openness to these subjects. You know, maybe cryptids do exist, or maybe there is life on other planets. I don't feel like my faith, my Christian faith, shuts me off from not only an openness to that, but also an interest or fascination to the subject. But it's the proof of ghosts in the afterlife, which I think has a more ramifications for me personally, because cryptozoology and alien life really do make for a more fascinating world. But the idea of there being life after death is a more personal and long-lasting implication, I think. It suggests that when I die or when others die, you know, that we might go on. And that idea is creepy and spooky, but it's also hopeful as well. However, I'm up for a bit of decent UFO action, and the Phoenix incident, in my opinion, is a pretty well thought out found footage movie. Really the documentary bits that really I like the best, on the whole. Yes, it's got unconvincing cliche in it. I mean, how come always like people manage to drop their video camera and it lands on an angle just enough for them to film the monster or whatever it is that's trying to attack them? But it's so convinced of its own logic that I found myself absorbed enough to go along for the ride. Well, that's it for the Flicks the Church Forgot. Do check out my other videos, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd be up for subscribing to my YouTube channel. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at RevPeterLaws. But until next time, keep watching the skies, and don't forget the Flicks the Church Forgot. I guess that's my time to head off, so goodbye. Okay, I'm ready. Take me up.